This is TWiT.
Was this a tough call for you and the supervisors that you worked with and got on board with this plan in San Francisco to decide that, and you can walk us through the thought process behind the ban, but what I'm assuming the thought process at least partially involved was, yes, there are law enforcement benefits to using facial recognition technology to apprehend criminals, but this technology is not yet ready for prime time. There are huge bias issues that academicians have determined have not been solved. And we just don't want it here because it's not working the way that ideally one would want it to work if what its purpose is to fairly deter crime. Have I encapsulated that at all?
Yeah. Closely? So we made two arguments. And it's a very delicate position for an elected official to be in. You know, I have immense respect for all the weight that is on these people's shoulders. You know, just because you're a supervisor doesn't mean you're immune from the same pressures that are hitting the police department. You know, when there's a violent crime or a mass shooting, something terrible, you know, these elected officials are going to hear about it from their constituents directly. And that's the one thing about local politics. You know, there's nowhere to hide. You are going to hear from the voters. So they had to make a couple calculations. The first one, I think, is the easy one. It is definitely not ready for prime time when the error rate is as high as 35% if you're a black woman. Oakland, you know, that's an easy sell. Oakland's been under federal monitoring for 16 consecutive years. Federal courts have found us guilty of racial profiling. We get sued left and right every single year because we just cannot stay out of trouble. So to give them this type of tool with that type of error rate would just be a huge legal financial liability. That's the easy part of the calculation. The hard part is long term. We acknowledge, and I would think probably unanimously in our coalition, we all acknowledge this technology is going to be perfect. It will get better with machine learning, greater data sets. It'll eventually figure out skin tone and gender. You know, technology marches on. We have no doubt of that. We also are not going to pretend that there aren't good use cases, you know. Identifying a mass shooter and a violent criminal, looking at mugshots of people where we definitely already know there's a criminal predicate, maybe they're even in custody. We understand that can happen. Any tool can be used for good or for bad. We acknowledge that, and we're not attempting to hide it. This is different. I love what Alvaro Bedoya from Georgetown says, that this isn't normal. It's creepy. It can be done remotely at a distance. We don't even know what's happening. It is the most radical shift in power between the government and the governed. And for the electeds where I've had difficulty talking to them, you know, they come up with these good hypotheticals like an active shooter case. And what I have so far been successfully convincing them of is it never stops there. There's always mission creep. Any tool that's this versatile will get used for multiple purposes. You know, when license plate readers were first introduced, we were told that they're just to go get stolen vehicles recovered. Now they're used for every criminal investigation. They're used in civil investigations. They're used for administrative purposes. They're used all the time. It's ubiquitous. And that's the reality, is that if a tool can be used in different ways, it will be. So if we crack the bottle, crack the door open right now and let this technology be used in limited purposes, it's only a short matter of time until it gets used in other ways. And history has shown that there are no friendly case studies of mass surveillance, none. No matter what type of government, what time period, mass surveillance is always abused. And we also know that surveillance impacts certain communities more than others. It's never equally harmful. And that's the concern, is the long-term concern is that it will be perfect surveillance. We won't be able to hide. I think our First Amendment protections would be obliterated.
So I'm sure one thing that you've encountered and that you've had to respond in the way that you just did is the case of the Capital Gazette shooter last year. He was a person who went in and shot up a newspaper in Annapolis, Maryland. The office is there. The most deadly domestic attack on the press since 9/11. And he was apprehended through facial recognition technology. So that has to be the poster child, or at least one of them, case for why a city might want to have these kinds of measures in place. So he was not going to give himself up. He was only apprehended through this technology. I suppose other sort of police investigative techniques might have eventually apprehended him, but it wouldn't have been as quick. What is your response to a lawmaker who comes to you and says, we want to have that kind of assurance that we can catch these people too?
Yeah, I think the premise that he could have only been caught that way is unproven. Other police methods could have worked. We've seen a couple other cases like out here where they say, oh, facial recognition solved it. And once you actually dig into it, it was eyewitness testimony and old-fashioned police work. Again, we acknowledge that there will be success cases like this, that there could be future success cases. I absolutely acknowledge that. We have to look at the overall big picture. On net, what is the impact going to be of allowing those with police power to have this technology? And that's, again, when I go back, we keep saying we don't have amnesia. All of human history has shown that mass surveillance gets abused. I can't detach myself from my face. You know, at least a license plate reader, I can get out of a car. I can try to find an alternate mode of transportation. I can't separate myself from my face. As a condition of participating in my life, just going about my daily activities, I should not have to be subject to mass surveillance by walking outside my door. And that is where it's going to lead. We never used less surveillance. We never used less technology. The trend is always greater use. And so by allowing it in these little, narrow uses, which, again, of course we should try to identify active shooters. We're not saying criminals should not be apprehended or that police should be forced to blind themselves. But when you look at the big picture, what is the impact to society going to be? It is on net, it's going to be harmful. We have never seen a technology this powerful be entrusted to those with police power over our lives.